Blog Talk Radio.
Is 347-215-6180. You can follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or hit me up at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. As always, we begin with the game of the week. The Philadelphia Eagles fall to the Atlanta Falcons 35-31, a game that really had everything. I mean, you're talking about crazy plays, injuries, hard hits, suspect calls, big plays. The Atlanta will come out on top. This was a game of runs. I mean, Atlanta came out, hit Philly right away, up 21-10 at one point. Philadelphia comes back with 21 straight points to go up 31-21, seemingly had control of the game. But then, of course, late in the third quarter, the Eagles lost Michael Vick to a concussion late in the third quarter. And after that, you know, Atlanta kind of took control. But, you know, listen, the backup for Philadelphia, Kafka, came in and threw the ball well. Philadelphia didn't lose his game because of that. They lost his game because their defense kind of fell apart, especially in that fourth quarter. Michael Turner had some big runs. Matt Ryan picked him apart. Ryan on the day was 17 of 28, four touchdowns, two interceptions, 195 yards, and really took a beating. I mean, he got hit left and right. Trent Cole had a big day on Philadelphia's defensive line with a couple sacks and a couple of knockdowns. But this really was a great game in spite of the two interceptions by Matt Ryan. All week long, he had to hear Michael Vick this, Michael Vick that. But he really, even before Vick got knocked out, outplayed Michael Vick. What I took from this game was a couple of things. Number one, and this is the first time this year I watched Philly, of course, from start to finish and really could zero in on them. As you know, follow this, the quote-unquote dream team. Philadelphia is the most talented team in the NFL, okay? Make no mistake about it. They are the most talented team in the NFL. They have more room for error than any team in the league, clearly. The problem with Philadelphia, and I mentioned this on Monday on my Facebook page, is they make too many mental mistakes. You know, the play calling, Andy Reid, can be spotty. You know, Vic goes out there, and I don't know what was wrong with Vic. I mean, he had three turnovers, the fumble, a couple of fumbles, interception. You know, there were a couple of plays where Vic had a free play where Atlanta's defense was offside. Now, everybody knows, you know, a quarterback especially knows a defensive player jumps offside, that's a free play. That means you snap the ball, you throw the ball 70 yards down the field, 50 yards down the field to DeSean Jackson, up for grabs, even gets picked off. Hey, you can do that. Twice, Vic did not snap the ball. So that told me right then and there, that Vic, that his head wasn't into the game all the way. I guarantee you, Aaron Rodgers snaps the ball. Tom Brady snaps the ball in those plays. Roethlisberger snaps the ball. And just, I mean, Phil, it's small things. It's little things that will keep Philadelphia from winning the Super Bowl. I mean, they outgained Atlanta 447 to 318. They physically kicked Atlanta around. I mean, Atlanta didn't look like they belonged on the same field as Philadelphia. And this is a game that Atlanta had to have at home. So that's how good Philadelphia is. So it's going to be interesting to watch them over the course of the season. LeSean McCoy had a good day, 18 carries, 95 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Again, I told you about Kafka, who is going to start next year, will be a starting quarterback somewhere. I mean, out of Philadelphia, it just breeds quarterbacks. Philadelphia has become quarterback U. They get these guys, draft them, you know, or resurrect their careers. I mean, going back to Jeff Garcia, you know, Kevin Cobb and what have you. So look for Kafka. You know, I think Kafka could play well this week when Philadelphia plays the Giants. This game, to me, this game was more about what Philadelphia did do than it was about what Atlanta could do. They can't do. Atlanta's defense is still horrible. I mean, their secondary is an absolute joke. You can throw in their secondary at any time. I'm still not sold on Atlanta by any stretch of imagination. They needed this game. Matt Ryan played great, but this was more about the Philadelphia Eagles and what they did not do more than anything. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the NFL Show. 347. 215-6180 is your call number. When we return, a rivalry revisited, and also the Giants and Rams stink up the joint. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the NFL Show. Back to this latest edition of the NFL Show. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Dallas takes out San Francisco in overtime, 27-24. Both teams are 1-1. A game where San Francisco certainly will be kicking themselves up early in the game. They were up 14-0. Tony Romo gets knocked out in the second quarter, though he would come back. And San Francisco had his opportunities, but were not able to take advantage of them. Tony Romo, 20 of 33, 345 yards, 2 touchdowns. Miles Austin, a big day as well. 9 catches, 143 yards, 3 touchdowns. But the story of this game, other than a Romo injury and what was made about it, and I'll get to that in a second, was Jesse Holly, who starred on a reality show that was started by Michael Irvin a couple years ago and was given an opportunity or earned the opportunity to be the 80th man on the Dallas roster, was on the scout team a couple of years, and finally, you know, got it, you know, got his big break, had a 77-yard reception in overtime to seal the deal. Could have had a touchdown, but that set up a chip shot field goal, and Dallas would win 27-24. Other than that, you know, I've never heard more made about a quarterback coming back from injury to lead his team to victory than what you heard about Tony Romo. Tony Romo is not the first quarterback in the history of the NFL to leave a game due to an injury, come back, and lead his team to victory. I mean, there was more. It was, you know, it was almost like, you know, when Romo gets criticized, it goes over the top. But when he gets praised, and you know, when we throw bouquets at him, it goes overboard. Like he's underrated and overrated at the same time. I'm like, gee, I'm like, listen, he's again, he came back from an injury. It happens all the time. Guys go to the locker room, they get shot up, and they come back and play. And good, you know, good for him. He played well, led his team to victory. But let's not get clear, you know, it's not Willis Reed here. A painful, costly loss for the Cowboys. Miles Austin is going to be out for a couple of weeks until mid-October with a hamstring. Romo, again, sucked a cracked rib, a couple of cracked ribs, and a punctured lung, a collapsed lung. His status for Monday night is up in the air. Who knows? It's going to be a day-to-day thing. So very painful loss, again, for the Cowboys. Felix Jones, you don't know about him. Dez Bryant could be back. Dez Bryant, you don't know whether or not he's going to be back. Terrence Newman said he's going to be back for the rest of this game. So Cowboys are banged up now, but a victory that they had to have. They did not want to start off 0-2, especially having to host the undefeated Washington Redskins on next Monday night. Giants take out the Rams 28-16 in a game that was absolutely the definition of ho-hum, a very sloppily played game. The Rams just, you know, basically gift-wrapped the game to the Giants. They had a Michael Boley 65-yard fumble recovery off one of the dumbest plays, and I have personal reasons to be upset about this play, you know, with some fantasy, you know, with my fantasy league. Sam Bradford throws a pass behind the line of scrimmage to Cornell Williams, and Williams proceeds to, not only does he not catch the pass, but he proceeds to look at the football while it's laying on the ground, and while Michael Boley, you know, picks it up and runs 65 yards. Had Cornell Williams even went two steps in the direction of the football, I guarantee you Michael Boley does not go after that football. When the Giants saw that Cornell Williams was just standing there casually, like the play was over, you know, it was like, okay, you know, let's pick it up. Maybe it's behind the line of scrimmage. Maybe it's not. We have nothing to lose at this point if we do pick it up. So just a ridiculous play by Cornell Williams. And that, you know, from there on, it was all Giants. The Rams could not score inside the red zone. They kicked a bunch of field goals. They also muffed a punt that led to a Giant touchdown. Though, despite all that, Sam Bradford still had 331 yards passing, and the Giant secondary, and we talked about this last week, is just god-awful. I mean, Sam Bradford has no weapons, none, to throw to in terms of wide receivers, and he was shredding the Giant defense. The Giants secondary, that is going to be an ongoing concern week in and week out, especially now. I mean, in the NFL is ultimate passing league right now. So, I mean, if you want to have any success defensively, you got to have guys on the back end who can defend the pass along with a quality pass rush. They have a quality pass rush, but they, you know, along that back end, they are struggling. But they get the win 28-16. The Rams are 0-2. Giants improved to 1-1, 1-1 on the season. Eli Manning, 18-29, 200 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. When we return, the Saints get even, and Detroit keeps on rolling. We'll talk about that, and Killer Cam keeps it going. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the NFL Show. 20 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Cyril Quinn taking you for the hour as we look back at week two of the NFL season. New Orleans takes out Chicago 30-13. Both teams are at 1-1. New Orleans, this was not as, you know, as big a blowout as it may look, as the final score would indicate. It was just a 16-13 game midway through the third quarter. Then the Saints got a couple of turnovers, pulled away. Drew Brees, again, magnificent as usual, 26-37, 270 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. He has, on the season, six touchdowns and no interceptions after struggling with interceptions last year. Rough day for Jay Cutler, in more ways than one, 19-45, 244 yards, just one touchdown, but was sacked six times, knocked around, and again, took a major beating, similar to some of the hits and sacks that he took last year, visibly upset on the sideline, and certainly has had reason to be. Again, that offensive line is going to be a major concern for the Chicago Bears moving forward. I mean, Cutler will not make it through the season, taking the kind of beating that he took on Sunday. Matt Forte had 10 catches for 117 yards, but no touchdowns. Detroit crushes Kansas City 48-3, 2-0. Kansas City, of course, is 0-2. Another big day for Matthew Stafford, 23-39, four touchdowns and one interception, 295 yards passing. Stafford is going to have a big time year if he can stay healthy. I mean, he really is going. I mean, I will make you this prediction right here, right now. Detroit, if Stafford can stay healthy, Detroit will be right there in terms of that wild card mix. They'll be right there. They'll be right there at 9-7, 10-6. You know about the pass rush. You know about their pass rush. Running game's been decent. But Detroit, I've really been impressed through the first 2 weeks with the Lions. They go on the road, beat Tampa Bay, who was 10-6 last year at Tampa Bay, come back home and do what good teams are supposed to do, and that is crush inferior competition. Right now, the Kansas City Chiefs are the definition of inferior. Kansas City is the worst team in football. There's no question about it. Castle's been awful. They've lost probably their two best players in Bear, the safety, Barry, and now Jamal Charles to a torn ACL. They can't do anything offensively. Defense is awful. They are just, you know, you talk about the leader in the clubhouse as far as the Andrew Luck sweepstakes. Because I consider it to be the Kansas City Chiefs without question right now. Nate Burleson for the Lions had a decent day, seven catches, 93 yards on the day. Green Bay takes out Carolina 30-23. Green Bay improves to 2-0. Carolina, the exciting Carolina Panthers fall to 0-2. Carolina was up 13-0 in the second quarter. Green Bay would score 23 of the next 27 points to really take control of this game. Green Bay, you know, did what it had to do. Rodgers, 19-30, 308 yards passing. But the story of this game was Cam Newton, who once again threw for over 400 yards passing, setting and breaking records for most yards passing in back-to-back games to start a career. Newton on the day, 28-46, 432 yards, a touchdown, three interceptions. Though they have three interceptions, coupled to Charles Woodson. But regardless of that, I mean, listen, I said it last week, and I'm not trying to break any new. I'm certainly not breaking any new ground because everybody saw the game last week. This dude is, I mean, he's a special player. I mean, there's no question about it. Whatever the great quarterbacks have, he has it. I mean, he basically has right now no running game as Stewart and James Stewart and Stewart has been bad. It's been awful for the first couple. D'Angelo Williams, James Stewart have done nothing through the first couple games. He's basically been a one-man show. The defense is terrible. Yes, yeah, so it's basically, well, a two-man show. Steve Smith, he has resurrected the career of Steve Smith. Absolutely resurrecting Steve Smith's career. Now Steve Smith comes in, you know, leading the NFL in receiving yards, had another big day on had another big day on Sunday, but you know, Cam Newton is, you know, he is the goods. There's no question about it. Certainly the story in this game. Also, something to keep your eye on is the Green Bay secondary. They suffer, you know, even before the Nick Collins injury, they were obviously they were not very good against New Orleans, but they were even worse against Carolina. I know they had a couple of picks, but Carolina does not have that many weapons, and they lose Nick Collins. Nick Collins is one of the best free safeties. Nick Collins may be the best free safety in all football, maybe outside of Ed Reed, the best, maybe even the best safety in football, minus outside of Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu. I mean, he's been all pro, quiet as kept, 3 straight years he's been on the all pro team. He's a tremendous player. They lose him. He's in the prime of his career. They lose him to a neck injury, and who knows, his career, you know, it could be a career threatening. That is, now I understand that Green Bay was great last year in terms of replacing guys with all the injuries they had, but that is a big loss. That is an absolute big loss at the back end of that secondary. He is the leader, certainly along with Charles Woodson, the leader of that secondary, and that will be, you know, that's going to be tough to replace him. They don't have anybody that can even come close to replacing him. I mean, Charles Woodson is more replaceable than Nick Collins is, to be honest with you. And you have Sam Shields and Tremont Williams with the cornerbacks. They have no safety that even comes close to Nick Collins on that team. So it'll be very interesting to see how they fared in that with that pass defense, which was a strength last year, moving forward. But Green Bay does get the win, 30-23. When we return, the Jets fly high against Jacksonville and break up the Buffalo Bills in what would have been the game of the day. We'll talk about what would have been the game of the day if not for the Philly game. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the NFL Show. Back to this latest edition of the NFL Show, 347-215-6180 is your call number. The New York Jets off to a 2-0 start. They destroyed the Jacksonville Jaguars 32-3. Jets pick off four Jacksonville, four Luke McCown passes. Luke McCown on the day, 6 of 19, 4 interceptions, 59 yards passing. Blaine Gabbert did get in, was 5 for 6 for 52 yards. Dustin Keller, a big day for the Jets, 6 catches or 101 yards and a touchdown. I don't know what Jacksonville is doing with their quarterback situation. I understand getting rid of David Garrard, though the timing was awful and how they handled it was just atrocious. But I understand that from a salary cap standpoint. Blaine Gabbert, I mean, you know, let Blaine Gabbert start. I mean, Luke McCown, are you kidding me? Luke McCown, Like, I just don't get it. Think Jacksonville is going to be in the mix for the Andrew Luck sweepstakes as well. I know they you know, I know they are, they have one win, but that they might, they could be, you know, who knows? They could be 2-14, 1-15, 3-13 easily also. And they're going to be awful. Then they might as well, you know, Luke McCown. They might as well start playing Gabbert if you're going to play Luke McCown. I mean, give me a break. 4 interceptions. I mean, I know the Jets have a good defense, but I don't know what Jacksonville is doing right now. I hope that Jack Del Rio has his resume ready, because this will be his last year as the head coach of the Jaguars. Buffalo improves to 2-0 with a great win, thrilling win, 38-35 win over the Oakland Raiders. This game had everything. Like I said, if not for the Philadelphia Atlanta game, this would have been the game of the day. Buffalo was down 21-3 at the half. They score on every possession in the second half, all 5 possessions and touchdowns on all those possessions. 35 points scored in the fourth quarter, 4 lead changes in the fourth quarter as the teams went back and forth. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who continues to play well, certainly has carried over from last year, 28-46, 3 touchdowns and interception with 264 yards passing. Big day for also a big day for Jason Campbell as well, with 323 yards passing, a couple of touchdowns and an interception, 217 yards rushing for the Buffalo Bills. Again, very good, great game. I was certainly checking it out on the red zone as it went back and forth. Buffalo can score. Now they're bad defensively. You better bring your A game defensively when you're playing against them. Yeah, they're gonna put some points on the board. Stevie Johnson's one of the most underrated receivers in the game. Fitzpatrick has turned out to be very good. They have Fred Jackson has played well this season. Have some weapons offensively. Make no mistake about it. We'll see what transpires next week when they have the acid test with the hosting the New England Patriots. Oakland, of course, falls to 1-1 on the season. That would have been a huge win for the Raiders had they been able to get that game, because they would have been 2-0. Not only would they have been 2-0, but they would have been 2-0 on the road, as they beat Denver at Denver in Week 1. So a missed opportunity for the Silver and Black. When we return, we'll talk about another team that's in the running for Andrew Luck, for the Andrew Luck sweepstakes, and it's getting ugly in South Beach. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the NFL Show. You knew I was going to quit. You knew that it was coming. No, it's not the Saturday morning wake-up call. This is the NFL Show. We'll be right back. One minutes after the 7 o'clock hour of this latest edition of the NFL Show. Cleveland spies against Indianapolis 27-19. They improved their even record to 1-1. Of course, Indianapolis falls to 0-2. Peyton Hillis, 27 carries, 94 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Kerry Collins, not the great of days, 19 of 38, one touchdown, one interception, 191 yards. A uneventful game, to say the least. You're a true football fan if you watch this. And I mean, I don't know if I could have watched this game even if I was an Indianapolis or a Cleveland fan, to be honest with you. Maybe if I was a Cleveland fan, because I thought I had a good chance of winning. But you know, Indianapolis fans, listen, you had 12 great years. Okay, you had, you know, 9 straight playoff years, won a Super Bowl, AFC championships, 2 Super Bowl appearances. Nothing lasts forever. Nothing lasts forever. Unfortunately, it had to happen the way it did with Peyton Manning and neck injury. And this is what happens in the NFL. When it goes fast. It does not go slow as far as these teams, you know, falling off the cliff. And, you know, at least they will be in the running for Andrew Luck come next April with the draft. The thing that's making me laugh about the Colts and about Colt fan bases, this idea that Kerry Collins is the problem for the Indianapolis Colts. It doesn't matter. I mean, go ahead and put Matt Painter in. Or Dan Orlovsky. Go ahead, put him in. See what happens. You know, you're not hiding a Kurt Warner from 1999 on your roster. I mean, the team is bad. It's a whole team. It's not just a quarterback. I feel sorry for Kerry Collins. I mean, if I'm Kerry Collins, I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? Why am I not retired right now? Somewhere vacationing, you know, traveling around the world, doing something but getting the living daylights beat out of me, because we have no running game, we have no offensive line, and our defense can't stay off the field. So, you had 9 great years, and this is what happens in the NFL, unfortunately. Houston takes out Miami 23-13. Houston proves a 2-0, taking full advantage of that weak division as Miami falls to 0-2. Miami, now, I just told you that Oakland blew an opportunity with having two road games and having a chance to be 2-0 on the road start off the season. Miami is the polar opposite. Miami is 0-2, having lost both games at home. Of course, they got blitzed by New England last Monday night with Tom Brady and the whole 500 yards. Now they lose to Houston at home. And, I mean, you start off 0-2 is one thing. You start off 0-2 at home. I mean, forget about it. Your season is basically done. I know the 2003 Philadelphia Eagles recovered from that and made it to the NFC Championship. But it happens when was that? Again, that was 2003. You start off 0-2 at home with losing both home games. That's almost a death knell that you're not going to the playoffs. And I didn't think Miami was a playoff team anyway. But, tough day for the Dolphins. Chad Henne coming off that 400-yard day against New England. Came back down to earth in a major way. 12 of 30, 170 yards, touchdown and an interception. Big day for Andre Johnson, 7 catches, 93 yards and a touchdown. Ben Tate, 23 carries, 103 yards rushing. Arian Foster, I'd be concerned about him. 10 carries, 33 yards. That hamstring is going to be something that's going to be lingering for the rest of the season. Took himself out the game. He said the hamstring was giving him some trouble. We'll see how that plays out. But regards to that, Houston is at 2-0. Is at 2-0 right now. Miami game, of course, falls to 0-2. In the shocker of the day, the Tennessee Titans double up Baltimore Ravens 23-13. This was absolute domination by the Titans. The Titans outgained Baltimore 432-229. Chris Johnson was average at best, only had 53 yards rushing on 24 carries. Kenny Britt had a big day with 135 yards receiving. Matt Hasselbeck had a flashback with over 300 yards passing. Terrible loss for the Baltimore Ravens. You want to consider yourself to be Super Bowl contenders, you take care of your business when you need to take care of your business against these bad teams. These bad teams. And Tennessee is a bad team. A rare loss to a sub 500 team in the John Harbaugh era. Previous coming in, you know, they had, you know, he was 18 and, you know, was 18-2. It's now 18-2 against sub 500 teams over the course of his tenure as a Tennessee, as a Baltimore coach. This is a bad loss. I mean, there's no excuse to lose that game. They seemed like they put everything into that Pittsburgh game and left nothing for Tennessee. So both those teams are at 1-1 on the season. When we return, another blown lead for the Vikings and a sweet homecoming for the Steel Curtain. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the NFL show. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 7 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the NFL show, I failed to mention, I keep doing this, I had to stop doing this. I am on the chat line for my blog talk on radio audience. I am currently on the chat line, so just certainly hit me up if, when you get a chance to, any questions, comments that you may have. I am currently on the chat line. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Tampa Bay edges Minnesota 24-20. They improved 1-1 on the season. Vikings fall to 0-2. Another double-digit blown lead for the Minnesota Vikings. Of course, remember last week they were up 17-7 in San Diego before losing that game. This time was even worse because they were at home and they were up 17-0. Up 17-0 before Tampa Bay came back to score 24 of the next 27 points. Josh Freeman, 22-31, 243 yards, a touchdown, and one interception. They Tampa Bay had 186 yards rushing. Donovan McNabb played a little bit better than he did with 228 yards passing this time around. Certainly was an improvement on his 39-yard outing from last week, but just a bad loss for Minnesota. I mean, you have your home opener in front of your fans, 17-0 against a decent Tampa Bay team, not a great Buccaneer team, and you can't hold on to a lead. The Christian Ponder watch is on. Leslie Frazier gave the, you know, classic vote of confidence to Donovan McNabb. You know, he's my quarterback, so on and so on. I give it about 3 more weeks. They start out, you know, 1-4, 0-5. Christian Ponder will be the quarterback of that team. There's just no reason to, like, you know, listen. Minnesota's in transition. They need to turn the corner. You have Adrian Peterson as a building block. Jared Allen's in his prime, but they really don't have, they have a couple other defensive players, that are pretty good, but they really have nothing else to build on. I mean, to go forward, you might as well move on to Christian Ponder era as soon as possible. Yes, caller, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on? It's Speckless and Sports. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing this evening?
Good. I'm from Minnesota. I've got a show going on here in about an hour 15, but I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I do live in Minnesota, and you're absolutely right. I'm a big believer, my friend, that I don't care if it's pumpkin ball or if it's controlled violence, which is the NHL or the NFL or baseball, preferably, the controlled violence when you get to the NFL, National Football League, a first-round draft choice should be starting, and that's why Cam Newton is, granted the Panthers are 0-2, I'd be extremely happy as a Carolina fan. But when they drafted Ponder for the Minnesota Vikings here in town, I don't like McNabb. I don't mind him. The guy is still got some tank, but he's not the answer for the future. Ponder should have been in there like Cam is. And being a Cowboys fan, I can remember when Troy Aikman started for my beloved Cowboys. They were 1-15, and we ended up getting 3 rings out of that deal. And I think the Ponder should have been in the first place, because if they drafted him first round, why isn't he playing? And McNabb should be playing and carrying a clipboard. I think he'd do it. He's living in some condo in downtown Minneapolis, just killing time, collecting the check every 2 weeks. You don't see that passion in McNabb's eyes. I liked him when he got drafted. I liked him out of college. He got booed in the city of brotherly shove, which is Philadelphia. But here in Minnesota, I did my roundtable meeting, and I live in Minnesota. I thought they were going to do it. I went against my Cowboys. I went for the Vikings. I worked at the airport, and I was pulling into my driveway before he went down the local Jerry and Houdini to watch my Cowboys play. And I'm pulling in. I think it was 3rd-and-18 in the second quarter, like 2 minutes left. And I'm listening to the radio, and I hear Peterson's in the eye. They're 3rd-and-18. And what do? They hand it off to him. He goes 3 yards. I got my house to my wife. I said, "You guys are going to lose." She goes, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm sorry. You've got McNabb. He's not obviously not a rookie. He can throw the ball. You come out 4 wide and at least get the ball to the yellow stripe." I just right there, I could tell it was over, because they and I like the coach, but I think he's in over his head. He's a yes man, just like Garrett is for my beloved Cowboys. But there's no excuse here in the great state of Minnesota. The Viking fans are on the edge, and they're ready to jump up bridges, and rightfully so. There's no excuse to be an 0-2, but they're an old team. They've gotten old, and if I'm a Viking fan right now, I'd be willing to give up 3 years for Ponder. If he's the answer, they draft him first overall draft choice. I don't know. I'm a big Cowboys fan. Romo's not the answer. We got lucky and won. That's great. I'm happy for us, but I'm going to talk about that tonight, but Minnesota should be ashamed and embarrassed for their behavior. You do not lose your home opener to the Tampa Bay Bucks. You don't. If you have any pride, any kind of honor, you win that game going away 31-10 and send a message. And that was a statement game that they're quitters. And
I think they should have won the game, but they're just not as talented to just pull away from a team. I mean, Tampa Bay has some talent. I mean, they do have. I think Freeman is a legit franchise quarterback, in my opinion. And they have, they have LeGarrette Blount. They have some, the quarterback is one of the better quarterbacks in the league, legit top 10, top 15 quarterback, and Talib, Aqib. But the problem with Minnesota is they're like, what's the best way I can describe this? They're in no man's land. They really are. Like, and the worst place to be in sports, not just NFL, sports in general, is in that in-between, whether, either you're contending for a championship or you're tearing the thing apart and starting over. And bringing in McNabb, to me, made no sense, because from a standpoint is it was not going to – you're not winning a championship with McNabb. You're not contending for a championship with McNabb. He's not going to – it's not like Brett Favre 2 years ago, 3 years ago, back in 2000 – or 2 years ago, 2009. You brought him in. You had a legit championship team. That year, I thought Minnesota should have won a championship, by the matter of fact, in 2009. But – so it makes no sense to bring in McNabb unless you're bringing him in to groom Ponder for this year, for next year. Now, and I don't think they told their fan base that. So, they made it seem like they were bringing McNabb in to not so much win a championship, but to be, I guess, a playoff contender. They are the furthest thing from that. This team, like you said, they're getting old. they have a couple of decent players. I mean, Adrian Peterson is arguably best running back in the league. They have some decent defensive players. Jared Allen is the top player. You know, Pete Fields older. I mean, they have some okay players, but they're clearly on that championship window that they had, I would say 2009, maybe 2009, it closed up quick. They should have won. Yeah. You know, sometimes your window closes quick, and they should have beaten the Saints in the NFC Championship and went on. And I thought that year they were the best team. I really did. I thought that was it. And that, you know, after that, they shouldn't have brought back Favre last year. Should have started the rebuilding process and started with the draft and did like Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has done it the right. Tampa Bay, St. Louis, yep. Those teams have done it the right day. We're going to tear it apart, get quarterbacks. And build around them. Carolina is doing it the right way. Now,
Detroit. Don't forget Detroit.
Detroit, absolutely. Well, it took them long enough, but they are doing it the right way as far as all their draft picks. And now they have a franchise quarterback if he can stay healthy. And Detroit will be heard from if that guy can stay healthy as a playoff contender. That division you're in right now, arguably, it could be the toughest division in football, one of the toughest divisions in football. You have Green Bay, who I think is still the best team. Chicago can score and has some players on offense. And you have Detroit that is young and up and coming. So that is a brutal division right now. It's perfect time to start the rebuilding process and to move on. I would start Pond just to start them.
Oh, yeah.
I would start Pond to get him some experience. And give him some game experience, and who knows? You're looking for the future anyway, and it makes I completely agree with you. It makes no sense right now to have McNabb playing. So,
right.
it's going to be a long process. But
well, I do. I mean, I McNabb's just going to be another spend condom when he retires. I mean, he's done nothing. He will. He'll just be a spend condom, and it'd be geez, see you later. Like I said in my show, Tony Romo doesn't have the DNA to be a winner, and a winner comes with inside. I would personally take the Tebow instead of for the long haul. The guy knows how to win. That's a big lightning run. I don't want to get into that, but I think winning comes from inside. And like I said, Mike Webster, who played with the Steelers, I said before, there lies a man in the grave, a champion. When Romo passes away or McNabb, barring what goes on in the future, this is going to lie just another NFL player, like a lot of other spent condoms that come and go. But when you want to introduce somebody, here is Tony Romo, two-time Super Bowl champion. When you introduce Troy Aikman, you say, here's Troy Aikman, three-time Super Bowl champion. Here's Emmitt Smith. Here is Terry Bradshaw. You get my drift, people on the download listening right now, and you get my – I like McNabb, but he is just another proverbial next spend condom like I saw when the four floors of whores out in Singapore, okay? I like him. He should be carrying the clipboard with the hat on backwards, call him plays out, pat him on the back, and give anything else. But you look at the way that Detroit
I understand what you're saying. I like McNabb, too. I don't think he's, I think he's borderline Hall of Fame. I don't think he'll get in right away. But I like that more than Romo. I think Romo – to be honest with you, I think Romo has the talent to be a great quarterback. But you're right from the standpoint that Romo does not have that intangible like let me go to another sport like Derek Jeter has for the baseball.
Right.
Doesn't have that intangible as a winner. But I enjoyed your call, man. I'll certainly look your show up and you get back to me.
Right. No, I just Romo doesn't have it, and he's done nothing, until he can put it. I'm sick and tired of the pouting that you see on the sidelines with Tony Romo. And that just gets old with the pouting, and I don't want to see the – if you watch that last game when they were playing that last game, the first game we lost, pouting. And you saw – when you saw the Packers then, and they barely – the New Orleans, you saw the helmets were off. You look at the gentleman for the Jets had his helmet off. He was walking around the sidelines. There's Romo pouting, hat on back with a young troubadour look. You are a professional, highly paid NFL National Football League quarterback of the beloved five-time Super Bowl champion Dallas Cowboys. Put your hat on for it. Put your hat on and start chewing some ass. You look at the old days of Troy Aikman. All these good quarterbacks have come and gone. Marino, they got people's faces. He is not a leader any more than me and you are in Las Vegas being tabletop dancers. He doesn't have it, and he's done nothing, and Truman has done nothing to prove to me that he's a winner. He doesn't have it in his DNA. And he only plays 55 minutes of football and finds a way to lose. His New Jersey number should be 55 because this is 55, and he is the proverbial future spend condom for the beloved Dallas Cowboys. All right, so Good luck with
All right. Good luck to you, too. Thanks. Get back to me. Have a great evening.
Bye. All right, bye.
All right,
there you go. Bye.
Wow. That is a passionate Dallas Cowboys fan. I agree about Romo. He's right. Romo, you know, Romo is a guy who has a talent, but does not have that intangible that takes a win. He doesn't. You know, somebody say he's Danny White. That's a good comparison. I like the Danny White. Danny White, certain Cowboy fans remember Danny White. Put up big stats in terms of his career numbers, but never won a thing. So, Tim Tebow, no, he's a winner in college, but Tim Tebow just doesn't have the skill set. So I kind of have to disagree with him from that standpoint. When we return, we will talk. Well, did we do Pittsburgh? All right, Pittsburgh over Seattle, 24 to zip. It's no surprise here. Ultimate comeback game following that disaster in Baltimore. Pittsburgh goes to 1-1. Seattle drops to 0-2. Pittsburgh completely dominated this game, 421. They outgained Seattle 421 to 164. Ben Roethlisberger 22 of 30, 298, a touchdown. When we return, the more things change, the more they stay the same. That's coming up on this latest edition of the NFL Show. Is your call number. And I like passionate fans. That dude's a serious Cowboy fan. And obviously, newest Cowboys. Lives in Minnesota. And this, serious Cowboy fan who is also frustrated with the Minnesota Vikings and what they're doing. I love that. I get you. That's what I'm talking about. I love the interaction with that caller. So hit me up when you get a chance to, or hit me up or get on the chat line. Or follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald. New England takes out San Diego 35-21. And, why did I even watch this game? Because you knew what was going to happen. San Diego was going to go up and down the field. They were going to have two or three stupid plays that would cost them a game. And that's exactly what happened. San Diego is down 10-7. They had the ball at either 1 or 2 yard line, fourth and goal. They decide to go for it. They get stopped. First of all, to me, on the road against the New England Patriots, you take the points. And if you're not going to take the points and be aggressive, which I'm for more times than not, you don't give the ball to your fourth or fifth best offensive player. Put the ball in Phillip Rivers' hands. Let him make a play. Okay. 17-7. San Diego driving for a possible field goal, maybe even a touchdown before the half. Interception. Great play by Vince Wilfork. Interception. New England gets a field goal. Why New England got a field goal? Because San Diego cornerbacks were playing about 30 yards off the receivers. New England had no timeouts. Nothing. And they get a cheap field goal to go 20-7. San Diego comes back 20-14. They get the ball back on a turnover on downs. Bill Belichick inexplicably goes for it on a fourth down play. I know the punter was hurt, but to me it made no sense. San Diego gets the ball back. They had the ball on New England side of the field, inside the 40, a little bit outside the 40-yard line or so. You hand the ball off to Mike Tolbert, and he fumbles. New England goes back down, and it was game set match at that point to get a touchdown to make it 28-14. I mean, just those are the kind of mistakes that San Diego does. This is why you can't trust them. This is why you can't trust them. I picked them to win the Super Bowl, of course, like a dummy. Or picked them to get to the Super Bowl, put Green Bay to win it. But you cannot trust them. I mean, physically, they can play with anybody. They have as much talent as anybody from 1 to 53. A lot of players on San Diego's have, a lot of players they have you don't know about have talent that you just don't know about. They draft as well as anybody. Give A.J. Smith credit for that. But they find a way to make the dumb mistake, or North Turner makes the dumb play, or makes a dumb call, and it kills them. It kills them all the time. I mean, give him Mike Tolbert. I mean, if you're going to hand the ball to give to Mike Ryan Matthews. Am I mistaken? Is Ryan Matthews your number one draft pick from last year, from 2010, or Mike Tolbert? Somebody help me understand that. But that is typical San Diego. Tom Brady, of course, another big day for him. 31-40, 3 touchdown passes, 423 yards. Both teams went up and down the field at will. New England had 500 yards of offense. San Diego had 470. So when you look at week two overall, it was a very revealing week to me. Number one, I don't think that New England is as good as everybody's making them out to be. You can throw on New England all day and all night. Now, keep in mind, this is the greatness of Tom Brady. Tom Brady is covering up for a lot of holes that New England has. Trust me, especially defensively. I still don't trust their running game. And again, their pass rush is not very good. Their secondary is a joke. It's an absolute joke. So don't get caught up in thinking New England is the greatest thing since sliced bread. That's the first thing. This is a season to me, when I look at the landscape of the NFL, that is going to be dictated by the offenses. I don't see any big-time defenses in the NFL right now. I don't. Even the quality, Pittsburgh is very good. Jets are very good. Green Bay is good, but struggling. They're not any great defenses. I mean, this is a year where, this is a year where the best offense might win a Super Bowl, to be honest with you. Bills, Lions, Redskins are all 2-0. Which one of those teams are the most impressive? It's hard for me not to be a homer as far as the Redskins, but I would have to say the Detroit Lions have been, on both sides of the ball, the most impressive out of those teams, and I would give them the best chance out of those three teams to make the playoffs. And again, I said, say at the top of the program, Philadelphia Eagles are the most talented team in the NFL and should be the best team in the NFL. But they don't do the little things, and that will come back and bite them in the ass come mid to late January. Thank you for joining the latest edition of the NFL Show. I will see you next week. I will see you later this week on the Saturday morning wake-up call. Also, next weekend with the NFL Show, NFL Wrap-Up. Have a great week. So long.